This is the Back Porch Education Podcast. Today on the show, Steve and I discuss the relationship between the homeschooler and the standardized test.
Yay!
Get your education!
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. You like fables, Steve?
Sure.
Okay, very good.
What's the moral of that question?
That's very good, yes. Okay, so fables, historically, have a moral, right? Oh man, I'm so tempted to spin off into how moralizing, by putting a moral on a fable, you kill the fable, but let's just say...
Yeah, let's just leave that to...
Right. Let's just... Okay, it's good. Anyway...
Mr. Rogers covered that well.
Right. It became a practice for people to put a moral on the end of a fable, and when they were writing their fables in Latin, what they would do is write "Hic fabula docet." That is, "This fable teaches." Right.
Okay.
Well, Frost wrote a poem entitled "Hic Fabula Docet."
Okay, now you're scaring me.
Well, you no doubt know what's coming. This poem is funny and morbid, and it has a moral.
It's like Batman.
Yeah, actually, a lot like Batman. Fallen hero. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. So, Batman. No, I'm sorry. Hic Fabula Docet by Robert Frost. Oh, sorry, one last thing. La Fontaine, he was a very famous fable writer.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so here we go. A blind man by the name of La Fontaine, relying on himself and on his cane, came tap, tap, tapping down the village street, the apogee of human blind conceit. Now, just ahead of him was seen to yawn a trench where water pipes were laying on. The blind man might have found it with his ferrule, but someone, over-anxious at his peril, not only warned him with a loud command, but ran against him with a staying hand. Enraged at what he could but think officious, the blind man missed him with a blow so vicious he gave his own poor iliac a wrench and plunged himself head foremost in the trench, where, with a glee no less for being grim, the workmen all turned to and buried him. The moral is, it hardly need be shown, all those who try to go it sole alone, too proud to be beholden for relief, are absolutely sure to come to grief.
I was getting excited when he was swinging that cane around. I thought this was going to turn out well, but...
Not for La Fontaine.
Poor fella.
Yeah. Those who go it sole alone are absolutely sure to come to grief. So who should help them? How about somebody who offers a standardized test?
Just fill out this form, sir. We will make sure your life is a...
Right. I guess I start with that, well, because it's Frost and because I know it, and because this is the Back Porch Education Podcast. But I think it's relevant to this conversation because I'm not a big fan of the standardized test in the life of the homeschooler. But I want to start with something like that to say it's not from a place of pride. Or if it is from a place of pride, then I'm wrong, right? Pride shouldn't be the reason, or at least the only reason, why we don't interact with the standardized tests all that much. I guess it's a way of trying to keep myself honest.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think I almost come into the conversation with the phrase necessary evil.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think standardized testing, while it probably is to some extent standardized,
yeah,
I don't think it matches up with what I mean when I use the word testing.
Okay.
And it's invariable on this podcast that we come back to the purpose of education.
Yes.
Why are you doing it? Cultivate. If it is to cultivate wisdom and virtue,
yes.
Standardized testing is not measuring much of what you're trying to do.
Right.
That being said, the wisdom and virtue that we cultivate
mm-hmm.
teaches us to live within the world that we live in,
right.
not try and escape it.
Right.
And we do live in a world that believes, for various reasons, and we need to make this distinction fairly early, that standardized testing serves many purposes.
Yes, it does.
Some of which are better
for
served.
For different people.
Yes, yeah. yes, in different contexts, mm-hmm. right? And so I almost sometimes feel like we're using standardized testing in the younger grades
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just to teach them how to make good bubbles.
Yeah, right.
Or get used to that form, because we know that as they move towards higher education and college entrance and that sort of thing, the game is going to change from just simply where are we at the moment to are we where we ought to be in order to qualify to get in to the next level of education.
Right.
And that ostensibly even a homeschool setting is at least attempting to offer entrance into college to the kids that ought to go there, that
sure.
want to go there.
Sure.
And so they're going to have to deal with this in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that we've pushed it so far that some people believe you can't educate without it.
Right. Or that you may or may not be educating, but we won't know until the yes. results come in.
Right.
Right. And I would say if you want to know if you are educating, there's a whole lot of evaluative tools that are better
yes.
than standardized tests.
Yeah.
So I think, I guess my opening salvo here would be that they're just not all that useful. Now, like you said, the wisdom and virtue that we cultivate is ultimately probably going to end up pointing towards something like, hey, kid, listen, figure out how to take this thing, and you might make more money doing that than you do in 4 summers of working at some job,
yeah, right?
In terms of money off of tuition because of scholarships and whatnot. Okay, fine. That is, I would say, it's probably its greatest use. But even that is limited, right?
Right, yeah.
And outside of that, I really just don't see much use for these things for the homeschooling parent, for the private school, for the student. And so
right.
I'm pretty dismissive of them.
In a traditional sense, when you get a classroom full of kids,
yeah,
this comparative, which is very limited, it's mm-hmm. only testing very limited certain number of skills on the part of a child.
Right.
But if, as long as it's not a tail that's wagging the dog,
yeah,
as long as it hasn't become that which we're teaching to, but just mm-hmm. simply a set of data points that allows us to in general ways compare ourselves year to year,
yeah,
and other schools with our school,
right?
So be it. But let's not waste a lot of time on it, and let's recognize it's got a lot of limits. I'm causing you great
yeah,
pain.
Yeah, that even that is tough for me. And the reason that it is because absolute power corrupts absolutely. The numbers that standardized tests give us are so tangible that I think as humans, we want to make meaning out of things.
Yep. Yep.
And when we see something so palatable, so easily digested as numbers, we have an emotional response to that. And I think it's like brain chemistry, man. Like we're geared to try to make sense of it. And so that is like a rush to look at the data and say, we went up this year.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't take you very long to be like, okay, well, hang on. I've been getting this rush by having my students perform better. That means I've got to do more this year to get my students to improve from where last year's students did. So what are you going to do? You're going to spend more time working on the things that are related to... So I guess what I want to say is it's tyrannizing.
Yep. Exactly. It's a Solon problem, right? When he meets with Croesus.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm a happy man.
Nice. Yeah, well said.
And Solon says, I won't know until you're dead.
Yeah.
We want to know immediately.
Yeah.
Things that aren't measured immediately.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Is this student... We want to know where the student is at the moment, and yet it's the end. It's the life that we're trying to cultivate.
Right.
These little snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we've done... So if it were just about, hey, our kids are pretty bad at reading and it mm-hmm. bears out because of how they did on this test mm-hmm. that other people did better on.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look at our reading and try and prove it. If it were that, if it was just sort of a thermometer,
yeah,
I would get it. But it isn't that.
No.
Because of what you just described,
right.
It becomes almost the end all.
Yeah, it might start as that. But it won't remain that.
Right. And so then you have money tied to it.
Yeah, sure.
And,
And then you have more money tied to it.
That conundrum that people voice all the time, more and more money being poured into education, and yet teachers are still, they're not seeing this directly.
Right.
This is at least part of that explanation.
Yeah.
That when you say, look, you're, especially in the government schools, we're going to tie money up in this.
Yeah.
If your test scores don't go up, neither does your allowance.
Right.
Well, then, I'm sorry, but we're going to start now. There isn't a standardized test. There's a number of them. And so we're going to mm-hmm. shop around till we get one that we perform the best on.
Yep.
And then we're going to have to purchase that. And then we're going to have to get the materials that help us prepare students for that.
Right.
And that's probably going to involve... reframing or additional spending on our textbooks.
Right.
And then there's the consultant fees that exactly. we're going to pay.
Bring people in.
And,
yep.
and before you know it, we're spending all kinds of money on things that aren't really education. They're intended to be measurement, and you and I are arguing about whether they are or not.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is all in a traditional school setting. What does this have to do with homeschooling?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I agree with your assertion that at some point the game must be played.
Mm-hmm.
If college is
will be played. Yeah.
And we know that there mm-hmm. are colleges now resisting it.
Yes, praise right. God. Come on, more people. Let's go.
But
more.
In the meantime,
yep.
Right. Most colleges want you to have ACT or SAT scores or both.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'll gladly let you talk to you tutor folks in the game.
Yeah.
You're a college entrance test coach.
Yeah.
Who did wonderful things with my own son trying to get his scores up.
Thank you.
So,
speak
to that a little
bit. Okay. So, look, the test is not hard to deconstruct. Well, pretty much. Especially if you know somebody like me who has already figured it out, then... Yeah, you can just pay me and I'll teach you how to do it, right? I don't teach much content at all, hardly ever. Mostly, what I teach is how to break apart the test.
Strategy. And
exactly, strategy. How you, the reason that I can't do it on some sort of like YouTube or something is because the student has to see how he or she works with that particular test. So where are your particular strengths and how, we get this sort of thing in team sports all the time, right? Are you a defender or are you a striker or are you a goalie, mm-hmm. right? Look at you, look at your skills, then find where you fit and succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now this, so people pay me money to teach their kid how to take the thing. And, the ACT or the SAT. And that's fine. I enjoy it because I like making money helping students break something and get ahead doing it, you know. So for me...
And there's, of course, people getting paid to try and thwart your purposes.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why the tests are constantly changing.
That's right. Yeah. But, and that's fine.
Hence the use of the term game.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a game. So should, I don't have any problem teaching or coaching, really, students through that process. I like it. I like them winning. That said, I think that the system as a whole is a bad system. I think it standardizes the wrong sort of thing. I think that the information that it gives is not all that helpful. And so, and I think it's subject to manipulation. That's what we do, right?
Right.
We manipulate the results.
So for a homeschooler wanting to evaluate their own success in schooling at home.
Right.
Find better measurement than a bubble test.
Right, exactly. What I would point to is, listen, I teach people how to manipulate the results by just manipulating the way that they take it. So don't hang a lot of weight and that's the ACT or the SAT, which is the, paragon, wow, it's so rigid, it's so objective, it's so standard.
Hmm.
A great many standardized tests that... are available for, you know, more like grade level concerns, maybe state tests or something like that. They're less whatever the ACT and SAT are, right? Standard. And so then what I'm saying is for the homeschooling parent, you could make your kid do fabulously well on that test by just teaching to that test and manipulating the results, right? By changing the education that you offer. But that's not a good trade.
Right, right, right. Right.
And so my
personal bent... You're faking an education instead of getting one.
Exactly. My personal bent is to eschew the issue altogether by just saying, well, no, we're not going to take that.
Unless you face the fact that
right.
at some point you may need to, in which case I would suggest that your time and effort's better spent getting someone like yourself
mm-hmm.
or something online or so, in some way, getting what you need to get over that hump
mm-hmm.
in that kind of, instead of obsessing over it year after year after year after
right.
year.
Right.
And as we mentioned before we hit the record button, there are states that require... some sort of test to be taken every year for homeschoolers, which is their purpose is to try and bring some sort of outside measurement that prevents people from, you know, with quotes around it, homeschooling and not doing anything.
Right.
I mean, that has to be said, that standardized test or not, a child's not going to pass a math test without knowing some math.
Yes.
Or be able to read without being able to read.
Yep.
The test itself doesn't necessarily reveal any more than you would know without it.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're saying eschew the testing because it... we're saying eschew it because it isn't the best way to measure what it is that you're wanting to measure.
Yes, exactly. That's right. It measures... but not the things that you ought to care most right. about.
And it's interesting that in
or to say it more offensively, if you care a great deal about the things that the standardized tests actually measure well, then your cares are low. They're misplaced.
Yeah.
You should care more about right. higher things.
Yeah. So we're bringing Augustine in here. We need to order our affections correctly. Yes. Well, it's fine to want to know X, Y, and Z that are measured by a standardized test.
Yeah.
But there's much more important things.
Exactly right.
And in particular, again, with the tail and the dog, if passing and getting a high score on a standardized test is the focus, you're going to be less focused on the more important things.
By
necessity. It's just stealing time and stealing effort.
Right, right.
That old movie, Man from Snowy River. That's a known film.
Okay.
But there's this famous quote that Kirk Douglas plays two roles in it. One of his characters keeps telling the kid, stop throwing effort after foolishness.
Okay.
That comes to mind a lot.
Yeah.
In my teaching, am I calling students to foolishness?
Right.
Is this a lot of flash in the pan,
mm-hmm.
or is this substantive work?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I had to do this with my own assessments, which a little plug here at some point, Side Porch will have a whole set of our deeper thoughts on assessment.
Good.
And we've done a podcast on assessment and whatnot. But
right.
but I had to look at my assessment and go, can it be gamed? Am I sure. teaching students to play the standardized test game? I mean, it wasn't a bubble test.
I've never
worked at a school that had a machine grader.
Nice.
So that's good,
right? Yeah.
The temptation is not even there. But the true-false, the matching, the multiple choice, the
right.
quote-unquote objective test
mm-hmm.
is something I gave probably a lot more when I taught in the sciences than in the humanities. But my students noticed me changing over time.
Okay.
And the questions were, Mr. Elliott, why are you moving towards these, you know, written answers and essays and things like this? Much harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, exactly. I know if you know it or not, rather than did you guess well.
Right.
I'm not trying to teach them how to guess well.
Exactly.
Right. So I guess where we go from here is I don't know if I can say that homeschoolers should just resist standardized testing in total,
mm-hmm.
but I think knowing it's coming, don't they have to prepare their children by at least exposing them to some of this, or am I just crazy for thinking
That's an art that exists. That line of thinking exists in the world. I am not persuaded by it.
Okay. Okay.
I tried to be delicate there. I know that there are lots of horrible things in the world, but I'm not in a rush to expose my children to those things so that they can be prepared for them.
Okay.
Now I'm not. Don't press me on it, but because right now I'm not saying that standardized tests are sinful. I'm not saying that.
Right.
Okay. But this notion that, well, the kid is going to be better at filling out the bubbles on the ACT if she has had 10 years of prior bubbling experience.
Mm.
No. Okay.
So
at what cost? Who cares? That's not, if you're worried about your child's ability to bubble and to guess well on that sort of test at that age, then I just can't imagine that being a serious argument.
You're pushing back against the overemphasis then. This is just overrated.
It's right, exactly. It's just not all that meaningful.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell you that much.
Well, it goes back to something I think we've mentioned from time to time on this podcast, and that's the incredible power of fear at play in education today.
Right.
We have an anxious society, And that's why I take very seriously our Savior's words, you know, when he points out the need for clothing and food, and and he says, take no thought for these.
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. Or his apostle tells us, don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your... Anxiety is a lousy motivation for education.
Yes.
So
it's a fantastic motivation for it can get you to jump through a lot of hoops, but it's not leisurely.
Right, right. It's actually going to fight against the higher things, what you were saying earlier.
Yes.
It's going to keep you at a fairly low level of survival.
Yeah.
When it's possible to flourish.
Yeah.
And
what is it? Subsistence farming, right? Subsistence education, right? it is the body physically stops digesting food when you're running from a bear.
Yep.
That system shuts down.
Not important.
Because it doesn't need it.
Yeah. It might need it less than a few minutes unless you run faster.
Right.
We hope the bear's digestive system isn't about to take it.
Well, so too, I mean, if you force your child into pondering or being immersed in the minutiae, then you may shut off systems every bit as important as the digestive system.
Yeah.
And that's a serious problem. I would add this. Later on, when the child has been trained, and more importantly, educated in the way of the world, in the way things work, when they can reflect, when they're self-aware, and when they can understand their position in life, then it becomes an enormous teaching tool. Look, you can break this thing, and when you do, you'll get ahead. Mm-hmm. This is a system that we don't like, but we're going to leverage it. Hey, that's education, I guess. Mm-hmm. That is a great lesson for a child to learn, right?
Well, and I think if we educate that way, we are a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem.
Right.
Because sooner or later, tests are going to figure out that they're being broken.
Yep.
And as happened in my own teaching, as I figured out that I was being gamed, I sought out better forms of assessment.
Yeah.
And ultimately, everybody benefits from that because better assessment is better learning.
Yeah.
I mean, it is all connected.
I agree. Let me ask you one thing, okay? So, Steve, imagine that you are a college admissions, not a counselor, because they all just try to get you to come to the school, but a college admissions, you've got some real power here in terms of who gets in and who doesn't, who gets the scholarship and who doesn't. And you are in this situation where you have two homeschooling students. Both have really nice essays. Both have taken, it seems like, pretty rigorous coursework. Both have very similar profiles. Okay, the one has taken the ACT a few times and has improved each time and has a really great score. I mean, awesome. Like, it's out of 36, let's say 34. Okay. Really, really great.
Mm-hmm. Scholarship worthy.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And then some. The other has not taken the ACT and instead has submitted an essay that says, I am not going to take that test. I made that decision not to take it. Here's why. And I would still like you to consider me for this scholarship. I'm not going to ask you to choose. which student you would give the scholarship to, because you haven't read that essay and you haven't actually looked at these profiles. But, isn't that interesting? Like, would you consider that? How would you weight that move?
Yeah, well, and I think this is, remember one of our earliest podcasts was on the farm versus factory model.
Yeah.
So if my mode is cranking them through, I've got 1.5 million applications.
Exactly.
I'm busy. Oh, they didn't take their SAT.
Yeah, you're never even going to see that.
Right. If there is a place, if there's a scope of purview that allows for thoughtful contemplation of candidates.
Yeah.
And there would have to be some contemplation, I would think, depending on the size of the size of the thing.
Yeah.
That we got two pretty even candidates here. Both look good on paper.
Mm-hmm.
One has jumped through the hoops and the other one has explained why they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that essay isn't there explaining it,
right,
then it just looks like they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Or they didn't want to submit what they did.
Exactly.
You know, it was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, in which case I go with the one who jumped through the hoops.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have this outside the box thinking.
Yes.
You know, this is important for people. I don't know of a college that wants cookie cutter applicants. Right.
Right.
A lot of what they're doing with all the varied things they consider is looking for a well-rounded freshman class for next year.
Right. Please distinguish yourself.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
And so this might very well be a student that would make us look good. I mean, that's in essence what college acceptance is the best possible students to come in. We can't accept everybody.
Right.
So, you know, and it's funny, I do have that story of inviting as head of a high school, college entrance director.
Yeah.
And he was the ultimate power at a pretty large school near here.
Uh-huh.
And he, in the course of his speech to these parents, my request was, can you take some of the anxiousness out of, my parents are just going nuts.
Okay.
Trying to, you know. And he said, sure, I think I can. And his whole conversation was about the shell game. That's how he started out, saying, you got to understand, college entrance is a shell game.
That's awesome.
We're trying to eliminate applicants.
Mm-hmm.
And all the applicants are trying to get in, trying to not be eliminated.
Right.
And so whenever we start doing something to eliminate, and he points at the college counselor at my school, she figures out what it is and starts teaching everybody how to get through that.
You need extracurriculars.
And so we move the target.
Right.
Because we need to be able to narrow down the applicants while college counselors across the high schools of the United States are trying to get all their applicants in.
Yep.
And so it is, I mean, the notion of game, almost carnival game.
Yeah, right.
Is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Those targets keep moving back and forth. I got my little BB gun trying to nail it, you know.
Right.
And so much so that he was asking who had what age kids, and most of them were high school age kids represented by parents.
Yeah.
But one lady was there who had her oldest child was a second grader, and he just set out and write to her. Nothing I say to you this evening is going to matter at all when you get a sophomore, junior in high school.
Right.
The game will have changed in 10 years.
Right.
And you just need to know that. I don't mind telling you the state of the game at the moment.
Sure.
But it is not going to be the same.
Yep.
A decade from now.
Wow.
And it just opened up to me that there's a place for this, but it's, if what's running my life as a parent or an educator is anxiety, I gotta win, gotta get in, I'm gonna approach it much differently from, I like what you said earlier, the place of leisure or the place of contemplation where I can go, this is something, it is of some use.
Yes.
Let's put it in its place and keep it there.
Yep.
And not have it blow up
the whole
thing.
Exactly. The, having the right tool for the job makes the job way easier. Right?
Yes. Yes. Have you ever tried to use your shoe as a hammer?
Yeah, I have.
I think most of us have tried.
But not for long. Yeah. And it was a miserable experience.
That's right.
The standardized test, the makers of it would have us believe it's enormously useful. It's a very general tool, right? Yep. You can do a lot of things with
magic
it.
Magic tool. Yes.
Right. However, I guess what we're trying to argue is that it is the sort of tool that is enormously useful or can be leveraged very highly in very specific circumstances.
Yep. Yep.
And when you step outside of that, you're using the wrong tool in an effort to educate or even to measure education. And so, keep it on the shelf. It's not useful for that. Don't use it for that.
I guess rather than asking you about your shoe, I should say, have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Right. I think that there are some purple thumbs in education.
Yeah.
Where folks have just misused.
Right.
Whatever. It isn't just
well, it's at hand. Testing. It's at hand, and so we try to use it again. We try and use
Let's get more out of it than just what it's for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, good. Thanks for the conversation. I think this has been helpful to me. And I hope to our listeners.